Let us pray. Father, this is our desire, that is, have a pure heart to come before you. And we want to know you, Father, and we commit ourselves, everyone, into your hand. We ask that your Holy Spirit anoint us and touch our hearts and draw us to know you. We commit this time into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us look at John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. I think many of us will know this verse really well. Can we read it together? Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I think in many occasions we can see this verse, and we all of us know, oh, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So often we focus on the first three: the way, the truth, and the life. And when we think of the way, whenever we are in difficult situation, we want to find, it's so difficult, there's no way out. We want to find a way out. God will make a way. We want to find a way out, or, oh great, Jesus is the way. So we emphasize the way. And how about the truth? When do we think about the truth? So often when we think, if we study science, the truth, we think of the fact. Maybe, a water molecule is made with two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. So this molecule is H2O. This is true. True or false? This is true. This is a truth. But is it the truth? Or sometimes when we hear people, maybe in the movie, I don't know if it is real in court, make an oath, say, I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So we think the truth is the fact, the reality. But is it the truth mentioned here? When Jesus said, "I am the truth," does it mean only a fact? What does it mean by Jesus is the truth? And how about the life? What do we mean by the life? Oh, then we think of, he may mean the eternal life, not the physical life we have. So the life refers to the eternal life. So Jesus is the eternal life. We have Jesus, then we have eternal life. And then we stop there. So the way, the truth, and the life. But I think the way, the truth, and the life is particularly all come together for one reason. For what? No one comes to the Father except through me. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. All these three help us or bring us to the Father. So if I substitute the way, the truth, and the life as ABC, I am the ABC to bring you to the Father. So the way is the way to the Father. Don't just think of a way out of your trouble. It's the way to the Father. The truth is not just something real or a fact, but the truth draws us, brings us to the Father, to know about the Father. And the life is to the Father as well. So the emphasis is the Father. So often we just take the A, the B, the C, the way, the truth, the life, separately, individually. But I think it all comes together to bring people, to bring us to the Father. I think Jesus' emphasis here is to the Father. So what do we mean by the way? Jesus is the way to the Father. The way we think of a road, or maybe, how can I go to Newcastle? Follow F1. Oh, that's the way to Newcastle. No, I think it refers to a person, Jesus. So if we are Israelites in Egypt, how can we leave Egypt and go to the Promised Land? What is the way? Actually, the person, Moses, to them seems to be the way. Follow Moses. Moses will bring you step by step. He will guide you. Go, stop or go. Actually, it's God leading him. So Moses, to the Israelite, he is a person. He is the way, not just to deliver Israelites out of Egypt, but to bring them out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land. Of course, Moses do only half of it. The other part into the promised land was done by Joshua. So Moses bring them out, Joshua bring them into the promised land. But no matter what, the way is not just a way out of Egypt, out of the world, but to the promised land, to God himself. So Jesus is the person. He is our way to bring us to the Father. And the truth. What is the truth? So often we talk about the truth as it's a fact, something real. But Jesus explained what is the truth. If we look at John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Our Lord is sharing, your word is truth. So God's word is the truth. God's word is the truth. Through God's words, what can we know? Now we know Jesus is also called the Word. The Word became flesh and dwell among men, if we look at John chapter 1, isn't it? So the Word, the truth, is Jesus himself. So what do we know about Jesus? If we come to know Jesus, if we come to know he is the Word, he is the truth, what can we know about the Father? If we look at John 14, 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, have I been to you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He has seen me, has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? If you want to know the Father, know Jesus. So do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. So we can see here, Jesus is telling Philip, his disciple, look at me, listen to me, and then you can see the Father. So the truth tells us the Father is not something real, not just real, not a fact, not scientific fact. So for example, let me make it another example. Some people say people comes from, generates from evolution. So evolution is not the fact, it's not the truth. But what about the truth? Then from God's words, we know that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So from the God's words, I can know the truth. I can know the Father, he is the creator. So from God's words, from the truth, I know about the Father. I'm not just knowing some biblical truth, oh, God created something on first day, the second day. I'm not just knowing the fact, but I'm knowing my Father is the Creator. He is Almighty. So the truth is not bringing us some facts, but through the facts, I can know more about the Father and love Him and worship Him. That is the purpose of the truth. It's not to know something real, but to know and love about our Heavenly Father. So how about the life? Life is not just you can breathe. What about the life that points to the Father? I love to watch animals documentary. If you watch, say, Animal Planet, you can you can watch a lot of different animals. Once special moment I like is about sea turtles. You know, when they hatch and they dig up from the sand, hatch. It's funny that all they come up at the same time. So on the quiet morning on the beach at dawn, suddenly the sand movement and then all the hundreds, thousands of sea turtles dig their way out, hatched. And once they climb out from on the beach, they all swarm, all make their way to the sea. Imagine that moment. If you're standing on the beach, all these tiny little creatures climb out. Sometimes the seagulls come and devour one or two of them. But no matter what the danger is, when they climb out from the sand, they're all crawling towards the sea. Why? Because the life within, you can say it's an instinct, they crawl towards the sea. Because of their life, it's like that. If a baby on the beach, the baby won't crawl towards the sea. It's the life. The life inside the sea turtle, they know. As if there's a homecoming device in them, they'll crawl towards the sea. Similarly, when you accept Jesus, the life in you will make you draw you to the Father, to the Heavenly Father. You will say to Him, Father, Abba Father. That is the life God has given you. So Jesus is the way He brings us to the Father. He's the truth. He tells us about the Father. And He gives us the life. The life draws us in you. No matter what happens, there's a tendency, there's a will to go to the Father. There's another animal called the salmon, the Atlantic salmon. They will hatch from the fresh water in the coast, near the western coast, in Canada or in USA. And as they grow up, they swim towards the sea. And they become mature. It's funny, when they want to lay eggs, they swim back uphill towards the mountain. They bounce, swim all the way. And even though there are lots of big bears waiting for them, the grizzly bears waiting for them, and still they bounce all the way, swim uphill. Why? Because there's the life inside has to, no matter, they don't know why, you can talk to them, why bother to swim all the way, go back to where you come from? No. The life is inside, is like that. They have to go back there. No reason. It's their life within. So similarly, when we have accepted the Lord, the life within will always bring you back to the Father. So Jesus is the ABC in our life to always bring us back to the Father. In fact, this is the will of God. If we look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. So He's talking about Jesus, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. We become the sons of God. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So this is, God does not just give you eternal life. This life, tell me more about this life. This life restored the relationship, Father and Son. So brothers and sisters, we are the sons of God. This is God's will. He paid a big price to restore this relationship so we can cry to Him, Abba, Father. This is what God wants. We can pray to Him, Abba, Father. Do we find this relationship precious? Do you know how much price Christ has to pay in order that we can pray to God, Abba, Father? I want you to pay attention to, because you are sons, so no matter what your gender is, we are sons of God. Okay, so don't say, I'm daughter. No, all sons of God. Okay, so the Spirit of His Son. So in spiritual realm, no more male or female. We all are sons of God. In fact, if we look at another passage in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it was fitting for Him for whom are all things and for whom are all things in bring many sons to glory. So in God's mind, not just many sons. This son has to get mature. And God is to bring many sons into glory. This is the purpose, the will of God. And that is why God saved us here. God wants to give us God wants to restore a father and son relationship. So, how are we doing? Once we have accepted Christ, we are sons of God. But how are we doing as sons of God? Do we know how to be a son? Not necessary. When we think of in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, lost sheep, lost coins, and the prodigal son, right? The young son only wants to enjoy himself. He doesn't treasure to live in the father's house. He doesn't treasure his father. All he wants is to enjoyment in this world. So that is a real picture, a very sad picture of the reality. Many of us maybe still, yes, we have come to know God. Yes, I'm a Christian now, but we live a life as a prodigal son. Always thinking about, I don't want my father nagging all the time. I want to have fun in this world. I want to have entertainment. I want enjoyment without the father. I want to enjoy myself. But we know the story, what happens next. He wasted his life, wasted all his possessions. So come back home, prodigal son. So this may be a call for you today. If you think you have lived a prodigal son's life, today is a time for us to return to him. Now, how to be a good son? What is the reality of a son? Of course, we know Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the perfect one. So we can learn from him how to be son of God. Let us look at the life of Jesus. Actually, if we want to look at how to be, how the son, the father and son relationship, which gospel you will look into, I think many of us should know, is the Gospel of John. The Gospel of Matthew talks about Jesus is the Messiah, he's the king. And Gospel of Mark talks about Jesus is the servant, faithful servant. Gospel of Luke talks about Jesus as the perfect Son of Man. But the Gospel of John talks about the Son of God. Actually, if you search in the Bible, son, the term father in the Gospel of John, it appeared more than 100 times. So Jesus always referring Father, 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 Father like that in the Gospel of John. But I'm going to start with Luke. If we look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46, what would be a true son like? Now, in verse 46, now so it was that after 3 days they found him. It was talking about Jesus when he was young in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. One day, Jesus was in the temple. When he heard about God himself, what would this son concern? He would like to know more about his father. Listening and asking them questions. If you just listen without asking, not really processing, not really thinking about it, you don't have questions. I have been a teacher for some time. Those who are good students always have some questions to ask me. Those who have no question doesn't mean that they are bright. Sometimes it means they don't care. They were not listening. So, but in Jesus in here, not listening, just listening and asking them questions. In the temple, he showed desire to know God's words already. So to be the son of God, to be a son of our living God, do you want to know God? Do you have such a desire in you? Do you like to read Bible? Do you know that there's a desire, an urge in you to know God himself? When you read it, do you ask questions? why would the Lord say something like this in your heart? You really want to know God Himself. So if you want to be a good son, then you should know about God Himself through His words, asking and listening. And let's look at 2:49. And He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? So as Jesus was growing, there's something in His heart. I must be about in my Father's business. I like the Amplified Version. Amplified Version of the Bible. It says, do you know this is a duty for me to be in my Father's house? A duty. Not just knowing, he finds that there's a duty in him. When Jesus was young, he has already feel that he has a duty to serve, to know his Father. Do you feel such a duty on you? And also it says, also occupied about my Father's business. Do you feel that you should be occupied by our Father's business? This is the life of Christ. This is the life of a perfect son. Knowing the Father. A duty to serve Him. Occupied about my Father's business. What are you occupied? So often occupied by what? By your study? By your life? By your business? Or occupied by my Father's business? In John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. This is the Son. The Son declared the Father. What do you declare? Declare to people about yourself, how smart you are, or declare about God Himself? In John 2, verse 16 to 17, and He said to those who sold doves, Jesus cleansing the temple here, take these things away, do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. You can still see the Son has a zeal for His Father's house. Do you have a zeal? Do you have a passion to serve God? In English Standard Version, the zeal for your house consumed me. Consumed. The Chinese version is something like burning in me. The zeal for God's house is burning in me. Do you have such fire in your heart to know, to serve God? Or was that fire towards the world? Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 21 to 23. Now, I'm going to almost chapter by chapter, going down along Gospel of John, you can see always Jesus mentioned about Father, 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 Father. This is the mind of the Son. How often do you refer to God as Father? Compare. Learn from our Lord. In chapter 4, Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. In here it says, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is. And when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He didn't say God. He said the Father. So you can see Jesus is not just, oh, I'm serving God. To Him, it's a very close relationship. Do you have such closeness when we think about God Himself? How often do we address God, Father? So, why did Jesus talk to the Samaritan woman? Because God wants a true worshipper. The Father wants worshipper. That's why Jesus was there. Because the Father wants worshipper. Let's look at chapter 5, John chapter 5, 17. Jesus healed a paralyzed man. And then after that, people say, hey, why are you working on Sabbath day? And then Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. The reason I picked this verse is, Father has been working, and I have been working. So often, Father has been working, and we are having holiday here. Are we working as well? Father is working, I want to serve my Father as well. Father is working, I am working. This is the heart of the Son. Now we jump to Matthew chapter 6, 1 to 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So Jesus was telling you not just reward from your Father in heaven. So Jesus is not also concerned about building our relationship to God as Father and Son. Father in heaven will reward you. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet, blah, 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 blah. And let's go down to the verse 4. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. He is concerned about not people praising you, but how will the Heavenly Father feel? He will reward you openly. His concern is about the Father. Not his concern. So often we concern about how do people look at me. But notice our Lord. His concern is Heavenly Father, who looks in secret. Are we like that? Let's come to Matthew 6, 6 to 10. The Lord's Prayer, so often we call that 6 to 10. Chapter 6, 6 to 10. Yes. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, but you, when you pray, go into your room. When then you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, will watch you openly. But when you pray, do not use blah, 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 and go down to verse 8. Yes. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Your Father knows. And verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when the Lord teaches us to pray, again, Father and Son relationship, our Father in heaven. Not just God in heaven. Do you have such closeness? Do you have such closeness to God, our Father? It's your business. It's your name. It's your will. Your will be done. Are we like Jesus, the perfect Son? Now let's go back to John chapter 5. Verse 19 to 20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. He just followed the Father's pattern. The Son sees what the Father does. Do you see today? Do you realize what God, our Father, is doing in your life, around you, the people around you? Do you see his hand? Do you see what we should do in the same manner? The Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So Father and Son, there seems to be no secret. Father always wants to show the Son what he wants to do. Do we know God like this? Oh, brothers and sisters, how close are we to God himself? How close are we? Let's go to John chapter 6. It's only chapter 6, okay, still a long way to go. 38 to 39. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Can we say that? Father has his own will. And we are here not to do our own will. So often we live to do our own will. My desire, I want to do this, I my wish. But the Son seeks to do his Father's will. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Jesus was so clear about the Father's will. And he devoted himself. And I will, it says, I should lose nothing. Can we say that? Lord, your will. I have fully completed your will. Wow, that's only Jesus is so perfect. So often we know God's will and still we go our own way, isn't it? But look at our Lord. We want to learn from him. Pray that we will be like him. Let's go to John 8, 28 and 29. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So how do you speak? How do you share? The Father is going to teach you. So often when brothers arrange who is going to share on Sunday, we have nothing. So we come before the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to share this time? The Lord will speak, will teach you. So it's not by your Bible knowledge or what you want to share. Oh, I want to share this. No, come before the Lord. The Lord will tell you what to share. So often, maybe at the end of this month, we have sharing meeting. Sometimes we will invite, would you like to share? I got nothing to say. But come before the Lord. The Father will teach you what you should share. Okay? The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. This is the life of the Son. Always do the things that please him. Is this our life? Always do the things that please him? Do we know how to be sons? Next passage, John 11, 41-42. John 11, 41-42. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And yet Jesus again said, actually, when you study John's Gospel, if you pay attention to the word the Father, then you will always see the Lord and the Father has a really, really close relationship. It says here, you always hear me. Can you say that? Do you always pray to God? And you will feel that, God, can you hear? I pray. How come no answer? But in here, Jesus said, you always hear me. Jesus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead. This passage, chapter 11. So he prayed to God, Lord, you always hear me. Such faith, such strong relationship between Father and Son. Heaven and earth seems to be linked together. Next passage in Matthew. Jesus was performing a lot of miracles, and yet people rejected him as Messiah. So in chapter 11, Matthew, Jesus suffered a lot of rejection from men. If we serve God and we suffered opposition, we really grew frustrated. But what would Jesus feel? At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. No complaint. I thank you, Father. If you suffered failure, rejection, opposition, denial of men, can you say, Father, I thank you? Or would you say, Father, what's wrong with you? Can you hear me? Do you see what's happening to me? How come you let such thing happen to me? Father, I'm not happy. No, Jesus is saying, Father, I thank you. Lord of heaven and earth, you are still up there, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Father, if you think it's good, it must be good. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So we can see nothing can change. Even the opposition, adversity, won't change the relationship, won't change the Father and Son relationship. So we can see a perfect Son in here again. In John chapter 14, 1 and 2, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He's about to leave the disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It doesn't say in heaven. It says in my Father's house. So again, everything is about the Father. Everything is about the Father and Son. He wants to bring us to the Father's house. Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So where we are going, oh, to heaven. Oh, think of all the angels. Think of all things. Or do we think, I'm going to my Father's house? What is the attraction there? Is it the angels? What? Is it the Father? John chapter 14, 10 and 11. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. So what he speaks, how he talks, our Lord, the words that he speaks, is not from his own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. So in these two words, the Father appears five times, isn't it? So you can see in Jesus' teaching, Jesus' words to his disciples, always talk about the Father, the Father, the Father. How often do we address our God as Father? Do you pray to him when you start, oh God, or do you say, Abba Father? Now let's come back to Matthew chapter 26, 39. He went a little farther in the garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So in the most painful moment, still, Heavenly Father is a very loving Father. Father, not my will, but your will. Do we pray like this when we get going through trouble, painful moments? Father, not my will, but your will. And we come back to talking about the cup. Let us go back to John 18, 11. So Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? So all this difficulty, all these people come and to harm our Lord, Jesus looked at, it's the cup. It's not a knife. It's not a torture. It's the cup. So often we see, God, why have you given me such a burden? Such a curse? No, it's a cup. The cup holds the blessing of God. Can we see it's a blessing? Oh, how come I failed? It's a cup full of blessing. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Can we pray like that? Father, what you have given me is good. It's a blessing. It's a cup. Let's go back to Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Jesus is now on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. He's got nothing. He's suffering on the cross, bleeding. All the pain, all the shame come upon him. And yet, Father, forgive them. At that moment, God is still so close. Father. And can we go to next, when we go to Luke 23:46, And when Jesus has cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, unto your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Still, remember how he was in the temple, a young boy? I should be occupied in my Father's business. His whole life, Father, serving the Father, seeking his will, please him, bringing many sons into glory. Up to on the cross, he still is saying, "Father, unto your hand I commend my spirit." God is always close to him. Do you think God is close and dear to you? Let's come to John chapter 20 and verse 17. Jesus said to her, to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So when Jesus risen from the dead, not just his Father, his Father become our Father. So brothers and sisters, Jesus paid a very dear price to give us a new standing before Christ. We can call him Father. We can pray to him, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I should drink your cup." Do we realize what a blessing it is that we can call him Father? So throughout our everyday life, the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing. If we look at Romans chapter 8, 28 to 29, and we know that all things work together. So your study, your exam, your work, your family, all these happy things, sad things, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Who are we? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God has predestined, this is his plan, even before creation, to be conformed. He wants to change us to the image of his Son. And he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what God is doing today, not just giving us a title, we are the Son of God. No, he wants to really change us into like Christ. If we study the Old Testament, there are many kings in Judah, and all the kings, God say, "This king is not like David. This king is good. He's like David." All kings compare to David. So today, every son compared to Jesus, conformed to the image of his Son. He is the standard. God is going to do everything in your life to change us into just like him. Father and son relationship. This is what God treasured. I was thinking when I have this message in my heart, God put this in my heart, I would say, maybe I should share it in Father's Day. Last Sunday is Father's Day, but our brother Neil shared on Father's Day. But then I realized, actually, for our Lord Jesus, every day is Father's Day, isn't it? He lived for his Father every day, every moment. So I think this is good that we know that God wants us to be his sons. So I'll give you a minute for every one of us to pray to our Father. Think about what I shared about a son. A son should listen, asking questions, show interest to know about the Father in God's words. A son has a duty to serve him, occupied by Father's business. A son wants to declare about the Father, has a zeal for the Father, want to worship the Father. A son has to work like his Father's work, has a close relationship to the Father, concerned about his name, his kingdom, his will be done. want to please Him, want to do His will, always close to the Father, always pray to Him, Father always hear us. So, that's it. What do you want? You know all this. Do you want it in your heart to be like the Son? He is the way, the truth, the life, to bring us to the Father. Do you want to be like Him? Now, I think the Father now is in listening to every one of us. So I'll be quiet for a minute and let each one of us pray to Him. And then I will close with a prayer. Okay? So, a minute now for us to pray to our Father. Father, we thank You because through the life of Christ, we know that You really want to bring us before You and to call You Father, to really have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Lord, teach us to be Your Son, to love You, to serve You, to know You, to follow You in our life. Pray that we not just serve before men, but try to please You in our life. We commit ourselves into Your hand, and we ask our Father, may Your will be done. May the Holy Spirit continue to transform our life to be like our Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves into Your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we sing the song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us?